Hey, Mom. So I really wanted to connect with my daughter and help her grow closer to Jesus, but finding age-appropriate tools wasn't happening until I discovered the True Girl subscription box. Each box is packed with biblically-based tools like a mom and daughter date, devos written just for girls, and curated gifts and surprises. My daughter can't wait for each box to arrive. And hey, I found myself digging into God's word more as a result. Check it out at mytruegirl.com.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh.
Sociologists and psychologists are noticing a trend with young people stepping into the workforce. A lot of them are showing up one day expecting corner office, a big paycheck, and the kind of respect you'd normally give to the CEO. And you've got to ask, why? Well, it's because so many of them grew up being told, in words and in actions, you deserve it. They were promised the perks without the process. So now it's no surprise that this group of young adults is often called the entitlement generation. And just so you know, this isn't just something that we're reading in the textbooks. In my last 5 to 10 years of hiring young adults to be interns, to be a part of my team here at True Girl, I've noticed a great difference in the way that they show up. We want to address that. We want to help your daughter know now that there is a process that we go through for the perks in life. And in a world of comparison and entitlement, we believe gratitude can change everything. Shani's going to bring our scripture snack today. So let's go ahead and dive right in, Shani.
Right. You know, Dana, last week, a phrase kept popping into my head, and it was actually during worship. And it was, find your hallelujah, find your hallelujah. And I was like, okay. And I couldn't shake it. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this is something we and our kids actually have to search for sometimes. Praise and gratitude. You know, so here I am. I'm in church. You know, it's worship, corporate worship. We're lifting up the name of Jesus in song at the time. And it was like, find your hallelujah.
Yeah.
Really find your hallelujah. Because the truth is, we can praise God just for him being God and say, thank you, Lord. But sometimes we can do that and it's lip service, right? And so I want you to introduce our theme scripture for the month. And then I'm going to get into how we can teach our girls true gratitude and thankfulness in a world of comparison and entitlement.
I'm all for it. Okay, here we are. The theme verse in the True Girl subscription box this month, this coming month, is James 1:17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow.
Whatever is good and whatever is perfect comes down to us from God. So even more than saying, thank you, God, for just who you are, we have a prescription right here for all that we can be thankful for. When someone gives you a gift, you say, thank you.
Right.
And it's saying everything that comes down to us, like every good and perfect gift coming down from God, our Father. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And it's one thing, like I said, to say, thank you, God. We know we should. We just know we should. But it's another thing to have a heart so full of gratitude that it just naturally spills out. And that's the real deal.
That's good.
That's right. The real deal. And that's what we want to talk to our girls about and teach our girls. And Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm. So then there's a question, right? This is the question I've wrestled with. What are our girls' hearts full of? Mm. You know, what are our hearts full of?
Oh, yeah. I always say what comes out of me is what was in me.
Listen.
If it came out of my mouth, that's because it was in my heart.
Just like they say, when you squeeze the sponge, right? Like you see in times of crisis or low times,
what comes out. And it's funny, like when we're going to school in the morning, we're dropping the kids off, you know, we take turns praying. And the other day, my son prayed something and it stopped me in my tracks. And he said, "Lord, thank you that in you there are no bad days."
Oh.
And I felt a little conviction on that one, Dana. I will be honest. Amen.
What a profound prayer.
And I was like, oh, does he really? But that's good. That's good. Okay, God, am I thanking you for the bad days?
Yeah.
And at first I chuckled because, I mean, we're going to be honest, like, there are definitely days that feel pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like the days you're running late. Mm-hmm. Or the days you get oatmeal in your hair, or the days, you know, the oatmeal thing has never happened to me, but I know someone that actually happened to. Or coffee, you know, you spill the coffee, yeah. Or you're trying to get the kids out of the house. Or sometimes I forget, wait, no one's prayed and we're at the school.
Yeah.
Bless them, Lord. Like, God, am I starting the day off horribly? No. Yeah. But moms, we've all been there.
Yep.
Right? But I know what my son was getting at was this. No, life isn't perfect. But we serve a God who is.
Mm.
We serve a God who is. In Romans 8:28, it promises that if we love him and belong to him, he's working all things together for our good. That means, child of mine, even when something seems unfair, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I think that's one of the phrases we hear as moms the most, right? That wasn't fair.
Not fair.
That's not fair. Whether it's your sibling, mm-hmm. they got it and you didn't, or you didn't do that with him. We hear now in my house, now my oldest is 17. And so like there's the girl dynamic and boy dynamic, but then there's the oldest who's a girl and the youngest is a boy. And she's like, now hold on a second. I don't feel like I got that. I don't feel like that same energy was given for this. It was a little different with me, Mom. I'm like, what? I don't know. She was like, Judah gets away with some stuff. I'm like, nah.
Not the baby.
He's the baby. But it's true. I have to admit, sometimes it's true. Yeah. Right? But
Carice, I'm going to play that for you later.
No, don't. I will die on that hill. But you know, even with those things or the things we'd never choose for ourselves, can they be turned into something beautiful in God's hands? Mm-hmm. And his word says that they can, mm-hmm. right? His word mm-hmm. says he'll take ashes and make them beautiful. And mm-hmm. we can trust that. So gratitude isn't about pretending everything's sunshine and rainbows. And I think, you know, when we're talking about things like entitlement mm-hmm. and it comes back to us feeling like, oh, well, we're owed this. Mm-hmm. And it's also part of us that doesn't trust that we'll get the thing that we feel like we're supposed to get, right? I mean, that's technically what entitlement is. Mm-hmm. And actually, entitlement is one of those things that, of anything as a mom, I'm like, oh, I do not want to raise entitled children.
Yeah.
You know, but also if I see it in myself, I'm like, do I feel like I'm owed something here? Do I think mm-hmm. I should just get this? You know, mm-hmm. like checking myself on that. But entitlement kind of grates on me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's for that reason, right? It's like we feel like we deserve this.
And the funny thing is, God, you talk about how you get taught in real life moments, like mm-hmm. when you were driving Judah and he prayed that prayer. Like that was huge. I mm-hmm. took my grandbabies to the county fair last weekend or a few weekends ago.
Yeah.
It was crazy because my husband was supposed to go with me and he uh-huh. couldn't. So I have 2 6-year-old twins and a 3-year-old in a stroller at the county fair. I'm like, okay, this is going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to be good.
Yeah.
But there was abundance. First of all, they're at the county fair.
Yeah.
They rode a ride. They got cotton candy. They mm-hmm. played a game. They won a ball. They got to hang out with some cousins that were there.
Yes.
It was just like glorious. But when it was time to go,
yeah,
we didn't get anything to eat.
Uh huh.
We didn't get to play any games.
Exactly.
We didn't get to ride any rides.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my word, this is such a picture of me.
Mm.
My life is the county fair. Like the Lord gives me so much food.
Yeah.
I have so much food in my house. My weight attests to this. I play all the games. Oh, I have all goodness. The toys. And still, I tend to show up and be like, but I
More
didn't
Lord,
get
enough.
Right. I have a sense of entitlement.
Dana.
I do. Like the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that moment. Mm-hmm. And you better believe when I got those babies in the minivan, this is after I cleaned up Theo's diaper. Lord bless my heart.
Gosh. You need a jewel in the crown for that.
I do. But I was just like, guys, listen, I think we should tell the Lord what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
What are we thankful for about the county fair?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're in the back, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for my ball, my new ball. Thank you, Jesus, for the cotton candy. Thank you, Jesus, for the ice cream. And it was like ammunition against those greedy, grimy gimmies, that entitlement.
Yes, I
love that.
That
was in their hearts,
greedy, grimy gimmies.
Moments ago.
Yeah. But isn't that so beautiful? It only took you kind of redirecting with you. We're just saying, hey, what are we grateful for? Mm-hmm. Stop looking at what you don't have and tell me why you're grateful for what you do have, what's in front of you. And it's that simple. I think it's one of the most joyful things to watch a child be grateful. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, like how we are supposed to come to Jesus's children, right? Yes. It's such a purity in it. There's such a thank you for that. Like when a child learns manners, like when they first learn it and they're saying thank you and, mm-hmm. and please and all the things, but like how grateful they are for something that kind of seems so small, mm-hmm. right? When you give your child just like pots and pans to play with, not even not the new Xbox, they have pots and pans and they're just like a pick and slop, right? Wow. But there's nothing like that because that's in its like purest form, right? Yep. I mean, we know like babies, of course, are the most selfish because they're babies. They need, and they're not thinking about anyone else. But when they start to learn that we're to be grateful for something and they get that, there is nothing like that. So we are taking cues a lot of times from the littles because they're easily redirected.
They are.
As they get older,
it gets harder.
I guess
it depends what has been taught.
Yeah.
What has been ingrained.
Not impressed upon them. Yeah.
For all of us.
Absolutely.
Because we autopilot to the entitlement and
that's
the negativity.
What we default to.
I mean, proof of that is 2-year-olds who say, mine.
Hello. But then when they get to, when they learn to share and they're like happy about sharing, you're like, what? Look at this.
Yeah.
Moms, this is why it matters. While we're raising our tween girls, because we live in a world that is telling our girls to focus on what they don't have. Mm. It's constant.
So true.
The newest phone, the trendiest clothes, the perfect grades. Okay? That could be a point of, if your daughter isn't a straight A student and she's not happy that she got a good grade, or, you know, like what are we impressing upon them?
That's right.
Or if you don't have the most friends, and if we're not careful, that sneaky spirit of entitlement, it creeps in and then it shapes their heart. Instead of them looking up to God, they start looking around at everyone else. This is where the comparison
isn't comes. That you just said something that really matters.
Oh, well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Every now and then.
It isn't this all about where your eyes are gazing?
It
when you look to God,
yeah,
it creates gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at others,
mm-hmm.
it creates comparison, entitlement, and greed.
Do you think that's why it says fix our eyes on Jesus?
Oh,
like fix?
Maybe.
Okay, we hear you, Lord. But it is our job to help them practice gratitude. It's our job. It's our job to learn to practice gratitude ourselves. I know people who have like gratitude jars.
Yep.
You know, things like that kind of help them remember to be grateful, because our penchant, like you said, our natural penchant is to drift over towards that entitlement. You know, we hop on that train. Mm-hmm. And then if you get around someone else who's like complaining about the things they don't have, oh, well, that's it. Mm-hmm. But thankfulness, it opens our children's eyes to God's fingerprints in everyday life. You
that's
know,
it.
In our previous podcast, we were talking about Psalm 130 and just, you know, like the amazing God that we serve. You know, he's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of creation. And it turns the ordinary things into a reminder of his goodness. Mm. The ordinary things. It teaches them that joy isn't about getting more. It's about trusting more.
Ooh,
I believe
good.
You know and have what's best for me, Lord. And what the world says is best isn't our thoughts aren't his thoughts. What he says is good, his good isn't our good.
That's right.
We're pretty clear in there, right? Because or else some of these things wouldn't go down. I'm like, God, I wouldn't have planned it that way. Thanks. Oh, you say this is going to work out from okay, and that's going to work something in me. Oh, suffering's necessary too. Let's talk about this. What? But it's about trusting, trusting Him more. Yeah. It creates a dependency on Him.
That's right.
It's like, Lord, I know the world says that having this is the defining thing today.
That's right.
But I trust you. I trust you. And moms, our girls are watching us. If we're like, hey, I need that new phone or I need that new thing. Having new phones and have that, there's nothing wrong with that. But are those things idols? Are those things the things that make us grateful?
Yeah.
You know, like, do we not say thank you until? Do we ask the Lord for the job and get the job and stop coming to church or stop, you know?
Yeah.
So if they see us grumble about little things, or live with a never enough attitude. Mm-hmm. We've all seen that and been that, you know, then they'll pick that up. So, but if they see us saying, thank you, Lord, especially in the times where it's like, I want other words to speak right now. Right. How is that, Dana, in your own life? You know, I know you're talking about with the littles, but in the times where it seems darkest and the times where you really want to be the least thankful, like, I don't really want to thank you for this. How has that changed?
Oh, well, you know, I think right away of James 1, which years ago I heard a teacher say, it says, count it all joys. Mm. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, right? Yes. It's like, wait a minute. Count it joy to fall into trials?
Mm-hmm.
And this teacher said, literally, that Greek language there was like, make a list, count up the reasons you can be grateful for this hardship that's happening in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it was about 20 years ago when I first heard that message. And since then, I have, when I get to that place of grumbling, I'm like, I need to write a list.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get out a piece of paper and write a list of all the ways God has shown up in this horrible dark time.
Yeah.
And you know what? You do that, you're like, oh, look at that. He is here. He is with me. He is at work.
Mm-hmm.
He has not abandoned his station to protect me.
Still
I can trust him.
He is still,
you know, and it
throne.
Just changes everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're like so happy that this is a hard season or a hard day.
Right.
But it changes everything.
Yeah.
And it, what is it? It's gratitude.
It's gratitude. Wow. I think there's a reason it says we're supposed to enter his gates with thanksgiving and its courts with praise. Like, thanksgiving is the first step, you know, because that it helps clear out all the muck and mire and your perspective and your gaze shifts. Right.
Yep.
That's good. That's good. I have a girlfriend who was she's fighting cancer, you know, and every time we speak, you know, and I was, how are you doing? How are you feeling? She was like, you know, I'm thankful. I'm grateful because God is, you
know,
and I believe her.
I
like,
know.
That's the thing. There
I
are people who say
too.
It and you're like, oh, okay.
I have a friend, you know her, Colleen.
Yes.
Chow.
Oh.
She's been fighting
she's
cancer
one.
For, I think, 5 or 6 years now, maybe 4. Really long time. Doctors, I just got an update from her the other day. Doctors don't understand why she's still alive.
I was going to say, she wasn't even expected to live this long.
Mm-mm. Every time I talk to her, she's the most grateful thing I've encountered that day.
Oh, she's awesome.
How is that?
Yeah.
She's suffering. She's her body's in pain. She's going through chemo. She's throwing up. She's losing her hair. All the stuff. And she's the most grateful person I know.
God. That's only the Lord.
Yeah.
It's only the Lord. You know, it's one thing to say this, and you know, we know a lot of times these things are easier said than done, right? Mm-hmm. If we really don't have, you know, like practical steps to apply, you know, here. And I know in my house, sometimes we need a little help.
Amen.
But there are things we can do, right? A few years ago, we had a subscription box, and in the box, we had something called a Graticube.
I love that thing.
That is one of my favorite things. It stays actually on our kitchen table.
Nice.
When people come over, we use it. We, you know, like, and we'll use it as a family every now and then as well. And you roll this cube and it gives you a prompt on each side. So it'll be a person, a place, something in nature. And whatever side it lands on, that person has to say what they're grateful to God about.
regarding that. So I'm grateful for Dana Gresh, if you get person, you know. I'm grateful for the stars at night that light up the night, that if you get nature and you live somewhere where you can see stars.
Stars.
Yeah.
Not, we can see I'm grateful for the clouds in State College.
Yeah, that we
they were beautiful today.
They were.
So have you noticed the last few days?
They have been out there looking good.
Like, I feel like there should be angels on the tops of them. They're so beautiful.
Listen,
but sometimes we don't see so many stars because of them.
It gets a little, we know they're there, but you know, those are the things that they seem so small, but if you think about it, do you think about one star?
Yeah.
And then think about the fact that there are kabillions. Whew. Like, and God made that for a purpose, you know, and we can wonder at his amazing creation.
Yeah.
And we can say, thank you, God, for that. It's a good and perfect gift. And so if you can turn gratitude into something like a game, not because it's funny, but, you know, because it's something that then your children can engage with, then that's actually something that will make that repetitious in their heart.
It's like building muscle.
You're building the muscle, just like faith, right? It's they're putting it into practice.
Yeah.
And it helps you find your hallelujah together. Yeah.
That's good.
And honestly, it's amazing. Like, just like how you were talking about it, how quickly your mood can change and how quickly it can change the atmosphere of the home.
Yeah.
Because when you start naming the blessings out loud, your heart catches up and you get some conviction. Like when my son said that, I was like, oh, you're just going to say that and get on out the car, huh?
Some snaps for Judah today.
Some snaps for Judah. It convicts you. You're like, you know what? I am grateful, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I love it because it takes gratitude from being this vague thing.
Yeah.
Something practical, something real, something tangible, right? We're thankful. It's not a random thankfulness. We are thankful because, God, every good and perfect gift comes from you.
It does. You know, and where it comes back to entitlement, which this really is something I'm concerned about in my own life, but as I have been seeing Christian young adults move into the workforce, I'm concerned about the testimony of Christ because of the entitlement that's just really targeting that age group, that generation. And here's how gratitude impacts entitlement. I heard this story about four or five years ago. It was a little girl who got a piece of cake. Like, imagine a life without cake. This little girl had known that life. She was 9 years old, little girl in Ethiopia, had not one time experienced the sweet, soft fluffiness of a piece of cake in her mouth. Something we take for granted. I mean, listen. I ate too much cake.
Yes.
Well, a missionary brought cake to her village. She got to taste it for the first time. All the kids around her are gobbling it up. She is just sitting there. She takes one little nibble, and then she just held the rest in her hands on a napkin. And the missionary stopped because all the other kids are like finishing their cake. And the missionary leaned in and said, "Sweetie, is something wrong with your cake?" And she shook her head and said, "No, I've just never had this before. And I'm so thankful. I want to save some for my sister."
Ugh. Here it is, right?
Okay.
There.
She was so grateful for something brand new in her life that she wanted her sister to taste it too. And to me, when I heard that story, I was like, true gratitude begets generosity. It assaults that this is my cake. To be like, I'm so grateful for this. It's like when you see the clouds or you see the stars, and you're like, I got to tell everybody to come see this. You know? True gratitude says, my cake is your cake. My house is your house. My money is your money. It changes us. It wrestles and strangles entitlement.
And just like that, complaining and entitlement is contagious. We're saying gratitude. Could be just as contagious.
Thanks for that solid truth today, Shani. I love it. I also want to invite everybody today to join me starting November 1st. It's drawing closer for the Holy Girl Walk Season 4, a 16-day journey into forgiveness and freedom, something we can be so grateful for, that God has provided a way for us to experience his forgiveness and his freedom. We're going to memorize Psalm 130 together, one verse at a time. We're going to walk every day. I do believe that shame is a great epidemic in the church today. Psalm 130 is the anti-venom for that epidemic. I'd love to send you my forgiven and free 16-day Bible memory guide to Psalm 130, set of memory cards, and the world's best water tumbler to keep you hydrated on your Holy Girl walk. That's my thank you kit when you become a True Girl Freedom partner. That's someone who gives $30 a month, prays for us, and helps us spread the word. You can learn more at mytruegirl.com. Okay, join us again in 2 weeks. We're going to dive into a brief theology of periods. And we are not talking about punctuation marks, my friend. We are not talking about punctuation marks.
One more quick thing. We're packing up the brand new True Girl Gratitude Box right now, and yours could be on its way soon. Here's a peek inside. We've got our daily devos for November and December to help your daughter discover gratitude and joy. A mom-daughter watercolor date. Yep, we'll send the supplies. Don't you worry. You don't have to have any creative talent at all. And the long-awaited return of none other than Stanley the Acorn, our most beloved True Girl plush. We have memory verse cards, a Stanley sticker, a color meditation page, and even more surprises. You don't want to miss this one. Subscribe today at mytruegirl.com and we'll ship your box straight to your door.